All right. I would like to welcome you to another installment of the Mentor Podcast, and I am extremely excited to announce this time's guest, and it is Alexandra Sitka from Minneapolis, the number one MDR in the Northern Plains North Central Group, coming from OAA location and installing over $30,000 last year. So welcome to the podcast, Alexandra. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much, Chase, for having me on here. I hope I can help anyone I possibly can.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you carving time out of your 30 new presentations that you do on a weekly basis. I figure you could volunteer one of those hours over to me, and obviously for the betterment of the entire group, hopefully. So I appreciate you doing that and spending some time with me today and talking about your success, and hopefully we can add a deposit to everyone else in the group. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, before we get into too much here, obviously just want to get a little bit of a background on obviously you've been with CentOS for 2 or so years, but kind of your background before that, how you got into it, and how you ended up at CentOS.
Absolutely. So I was a straight out of college hire. This is my first real job out of college, and throughout college I did college work and painting, which basically is knocking on doors, doing estimates for people, hiring painters, and producing the paintjobs. And I did that for 3 years. So I was a branch manager where I managed my own section of the business. And then I actually managed the managers. So teaching them how to do that, going through the process, working at both the sales side and the operations side, and absolutely loved it. So I guess after college, what I wanted to do was find something similar to that, where I'd have that sales and operations mixed to it, because I really enjoyed having to follow through with the promises that you make at the beginning.
That's really cool. I've heard of College Works Painting before, that's super interesting. I wasn't familiar with that, or at least I should say I've seen it, obviously, in my recruiting and stuff like that, but never really understood exactly what it was. So that's unique, and that's really cool. So I gotta ask, because I ask everybody, obviously you woke up this morning and were super happy and super excited. You said, I can't wait to go sell toilet paper today. but how did you end up at CentOS? How did you end up selling toilet paper mats, super nice and fancy Signature Series dispensers? How did you end up at CentOS?
Absolutely. So actually, I was looking through Indeed to find a job after college, and my goal was to find the most unsexy company and find the most unsexy products I could sell. Because from my understanding and from my background, I realized that unsexy has a lot of money, and it's very much overlooked, and there's a lot of margins, everything with that. So I didn't know I was going to sell toilet paper, but it was exactly what I was looking for in a weird way. And during the interview process, when I was talking with Eric Kiley, he was telling me how we were doing a rebuild with Egan and really rebuilding the location from a sales and service standpoint. And that really appealed to me. So that's why I chose CentOS. I wanted something that was growing, something that was overlooked. And that's how I got here today.
Awesome. So that's a really cool story. And I think that's something, hopefully our sales managers listen to this too. But that is, those are some characteristics, obviously, just I'm thinking from a recruiting standpoint, that's something that, that we need to take a better look at. Something that we always look at is, and I can't think of it, is, selling the, books door to door. And that's something that carries over, obviously makes sense for our business, but again, I wasn't familiar with college painting. So, I'm glad you brought that up. That's awesome. So
absolutely.
I appreciate that. All right, so let's get into some good stuff here. So I've got, so we were able to, talk a little bit before, and obviously we got to watch you walk across the stage. You were the number one MDR in the group, and actually probably just came back from President's Club, which I hope you had a blast. Congratulations again on that. But you went from, and the story is really cool, and I think this is something that, this is really the biggest piece of why I'm excited to have you on, is you went from your first fiscal year, I think, 6th 6,000, 8,000, 9,000, whatever the number was, it probably wasn't something that you were super happy about, to the $30,000 MDR that we saw in FY19. And I think that transformation, I think that success story is awesome. And I want you to share that with your peers and get that message across. And that 12-month transformation, I think, is really cool. So let's just start it off with, how did you do that? And kind of what was the thought process with that? How'd that happen?
Absolutely. So it obviously did not happen overnight, and it's something that happened very slowly, and the changes that I made were very slow and small changes. But at the end of the day, it was basically just a decision I made. I remember going to the annual meeting, and I saw John Grundy walking across the stage, and he was the number one rep. He was the Rookie of the Year. He had done a fantastic job the year before, and I remember thinking, well, why can't I do that? What's stopping me from being able to do that? And so I actually reached out to him afterwards, and I started asking him questions on his year, how he did. I asked other MDRs questions as well about their years, MDRs that had been promoted. Everyone that I could possibly get a hold of, I started just asking them questions. And what I found is they weren't doing anything that was rocket science, and they weren't doing anything that I couldn't do myself. And what it really came down to was the relationships with their SSRs and caring about what happened to their clients and what happened to their SSRs, because that's the biggest difference that I saw between the MDRs that were doing incredible numbers and the MDRs that weren't having as good of numbers. And that's when it really clicked of how important the SSR is to the success and how important the service side is to the success, and how easy it is to butt heads with the other silo, because it's basically sales against service a lot of times. And what I found is my SSRs were expecting me to quit right away, because MDRs had turned over pretty quickly at my location previously. And the fact that I was staying a full year started to gain more buy-in and started to gain more of their trust. And as they noticed that I wanted to work with them and that I was willing to come in early on their Monday for their Monday morning stretches at 5:30 and was willing to strategize with them in the afternoon, they knew that I cared and that I wanted to help them grow their routes and wanted to help them grow even more, especially when they're being financially motivated to grow during ads contests and help with their growth bonus and all of those things. So as more and more of the SSRs started trusting me, I saw more and more buy-in from the ones who didn't necessarily trust me in the beginning. And my mindset was I was going to hit President's Club. I didn't know that I was going to hit over 30,000. That was not on my mind. But my SSRs allowed me to do that, and they helped me get there because I cared about them. So then in turn, they cared about me.
That's really cool. And I think obviously you spoke to MDRs in that, but I would say as a former new business rep, and I manage, I don't know, a few new business reps on top of my MDRs, that message isn't lost. It should not get lost on our new business reps as well. And I would just echo that sentiment and say that, you know, from a new business standpoint, yes, SSRs don't get quote unquote rewarded for new accounts, right? But however, they get new opportunities to grow those accounts. And so when we sell and set up new accounts the right way that allow our SSRs the opportunity to add volume to those accounts, or they can also add volume or money to their paychecks with direct purchase opportunities. You talk about the can liners and all of the other things that we're doing as well, whether it's hats, shirts, jackets, all of those things that people are already doing. When we do it the right way on the new business side, obviously that incentivizes our SSRs, and they understand when we sell good business that they get to take over good new business and obviously grow those relationships, which in turn obviously helps their paychecks as well. So I just want to make sure that message doesn't get lost on our new business reps, because that is a key factor to our success across the board, is that SSR relationship. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think we've done a great job in both groups of building that culture of oneness and one team, one dream. Brian always says on our calls, at least, and that's a great culture, and thanks for exuding that, because if sales just wins or if service just wins, then we all didn't really win. And I think that's a good message to share across the board.
Absolutely.
So obviously you talked about the SSRs, right? But, and you started having these conversations with, whether it was John, some of the other MDRs, and you said it didn't happen overnight. And I always tell people, so, you know, obviously we leave our annual meeting and we're all feeling really good about ourselves. We feel great about the company that we work for. And we tell ourselves all these great things like, hey, that's going to be me next year walking across the stage, right? And then we go home, we have a weekend, and Monday comes back and we're back to the same kinds of things that we were doing that led to the previous year, right? So what actions, what things did you do differently besides just telling yourself every single morning when you wake up in the mirror, like, hey, I'm going to hit President's Club? What actions did you take in your week that led to that change as well? Because I got to assume it wasn't just, hey, I'm going to be great this year, and then all of a sudden you were great. There's got to be some action behind it. So what did you do on a weekly basis?
Absolutely. So the biggest thing, and it's, everyone has said it 1,000 times, but I realize the top reps really do follow the process and follow what they were taught in training and RBS and everything like that. And it's really hard to realize that until you start seeing the success with the process. And the success with the process takes, for me, it took 6 months to a year to even realize. So it could take a very long time to realize it, but if you get away from the process, it gets away from the numbers, and it's really a self-fulfilling cycle. So I started following the process, and basically what that means is I started running my appointments. A lot of these appointments that I was going on in the beginning, I thought I was running them because I was doing 18 new presentations, 18 to 20. I was meeting with these customers, and I felt like I was truly running these appointments. But when I looked back, I realized that the clients and the decision makers I was working with, they were the ones who were leading the appointments. They were the ones who were leading me around their facility. I wasn't the one leading them, and I wasn't the one making the suggestions and making them want to buy more from Cintas. They were just showing me around the facility. So basically doing a plant tour as opposed to an actual needs assessment and actually figuring out what they need and what we're not providing them. So that was a big change from a process standpoint, is really it's following the process and leading the decision makers around the facility and running that process. And the second thing is if I didn't hit the number of new presentations I needed to hit, I stayed the field and I made sure to make that extra call and make that extra dial and talk to the SSR to say who I could meet with so that I'm able to hit my numbers that week. So those are a couple changes as I started using my SSRs to help me with these appointments, and I actually did the appointments.
Okay, that's very cool. And you said it took about 6 months. When did that process, and you talked about it on the MDR call last week and kind of your natural progression. Walk us through that. What did that look like from a number standpoint? And then obviously it just snowballed it, and it is what it is today from a quarter standpoint. And you're obviously going to repeat that this year because the job is easy now because that's what it does. Mm-hmm. But walk us through that natural progression of what that looked like.
Absolutely. So the first thing that I changed was coming in early on Monday mornings at 5:30 for stretches and then staying in the afternoons. And the reason I made this change is I wanted to show my SSRs I was there for them. And I didn't want them to say the excuse that sales reps don't work. So I wanted them to physically see that, yes, I was working, and yes, I was putting in the same hours they were, or actually putting in more hours than they were. And that also forced them to, they had to talk to me. They couldn't not talk to me. And it gave me the opportunity to tell the whole rep room when we had a win, when we installed something large here, when I sold something large here. And it just created more excitement or created the mindset that they had to talk to me, they had to work with me. And if they did that, they were going to grow their route and they were going to make more money. So that was the biggest change. And it took me a while to realize that too, until I realized the weeks that I didn't do that, my numbers started to suffer. So that's what really instilled my Mondays starting at 5:30 with stretches and ending in the afternoon in the route room. And that's probably the biggest change. Then what I realized is doing 18 appointments, if you're really geocoded in a perfect world, and again, this would be a perfect world, But you can, in theory, get 18 appointments with true new decision makers, true new appointments, in 2 days. If you set your mind to it, if you're prepped for call block, if you know which 20 customers you're going to call to, or which 60 customers you're going to call to fill those 18 to 20 slots, you can, in theory, get it done in 2 days. So I couldn't have the excuse that I didn't have enough time in my week to hit 18 appointments. Because if I had one full extra day that I could use to have any of the spillover appointments when I'm not able to get 2 days of 9 appointments back to back, I had one full extra day to do that. So there was no excuses for me not to work hard. And until I saw it visually and until I put it together visually, I would say I used it as an excuse that I didn't have enough time, that I was getting caught up too much in service issues, that I was expected to do the service side and the sales side. But I realized that you have time to do both, but the number one priority and most of the time should be spent doing that sales side and using as many of those days as possible towards the sales side with a little bit of service mixed in.
That's awesome. But that's really cool. And I'm just going to ask the question, and I hope it doesn't blow up in my face, but I got to be honest, it sounds like you're working like 60 or 70 hours a week. And we're going to have a lot of reps that say, but Alexandra, I don't have 60 or 70 hours a week. And Wendy just said, time is love. Like, how do I spend 60 hours at work? How does that work in your world with your 18 new presentations and starting at 5:30 in the morning? How do you fit all of that in a week?
Well, it doesn't have to be a 60-hour work week. For me, I don't count the hours I work, but I can guarantee you it's not 60 hours a week. I'm probably within the sweet spot of between 40 and 50, and some weeks it might be even a little less, because if the week is set up well, it easily can be less, and I'm more than happy to help anyone figure out how to utilize their time the best. And the reason why I say for me, I like to start my Mondays at 5:30. Yes, I see the importance with the SSR, but I can't get paperwork done in the afternoon. My brain just doesn't function that way. It'll take me 3 hours to get paperwork done in the afternoon. That would take me 30 minutes to get done in the morning. So for me, that's my time as well, because I don't want to spend 3 hours doing something that if I just changed the time of day that I did it in, I would be able to get it done in 30 minutes. So it's figuring out that about yourself. When are you most productive? And what time of day are you most productive in? Because if you utilize that time of day and then just ignore the time of day that you're not productive in, you're going to do so much more and have so much extra free time.
Yeah, I'm glad that didn't blow up in my face, because that's what I was looking for. And I think that's something that that we can all get better at. You know, I just think about the time. And I always, you know, I've spent Mondays and Wednesdays in the office, you know, occasionally a Tuesday or Thursday afternoon trying to do some recruiting and some other things. And I have to remove myself from the office so many times because there's so many ways to get distracted. And, you know, things that would take me an hour take me, you know, 2 or 3 or even more hours to get it done because of all the distractions. And I think that's always a good message, is if we can stay focused on the things that, you know, move the needle, that make us money, and not focus on the things that don't, and don't get ourselves involved in those, then we're going to be a lot better off. And, you know, if we can just put in an honest 40, as Dave always says, the job's going to be a fun place to be, and you're gonna have a lot of success, and you're gonna like where you stack up on the rankings, the money that comes with that, and all of the other things. But I think the message is very clear. We don't need to spend 60, even 50 or 60 hours doing this job. There are ways to be efficient and be highly successful in our roles by doing the right things at the right time. So I appreciate that message. That's good. So. I guess my next question is, you know, and I always, we talk about it in my office at least, I see the MDR's role as, your job is to obviously grow our routes, but really your job is to be an income producer for our SSRs through growth bonuses, mm-hmm. through helping them with retain some price fairness, volume, whatever the case is, uncover whatever opportunities are on their routes. I would assume you obviously feel the same way about that, but it's kind of a cool servant leadership story when you think about our MDRs helping serving our MDR, I'm sorry, our SSRs first, and then obviously reaping the rewards on your stack rankings and everything else. How has that message kind of taken off in your route room? What are some success stories that have come from that? Because I think that's a great story that can go from, you know, from Omaha to Minneapolis to Chicago to Normal. Like, it doesn't matter. That message sells in the route room and in our locations across the board.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing is just talking about it. If you understand their pay plan, you understand how you can help them. And I know there's, with legacy G&K sites, the pay plan for some of us SARs are a little bit different than the other sites, but just understand the few levers that you can pull. So if it's a growth bonus, if it's an ad contest, whatever that is, and then just start talking about it with the SSRs and asking them what they understand about it as well, because they probably don't fully understand how they get paid. And I'm shocked at how many of the veteran SSRs don't fully understand how they get paid. So being that resource just adds, you're teaching them something. It adds to your value to them. And if you understand their pay plan and you understand how to move the needle and are asking them questions around how do we move the needle with giving you the least amount of extra work possible. So how are we going to add a restroom mat as opposed to a floor mat? Like, what products do we need to add to get you to that next step? And how do we do it with the least amount of effort on your end?
Yeah, that's a, you know, we had just in Omaha, we had a service supervisor come over to be an MDR, and our knowledge and shame on me, but our knowledge of the SSR's comp plan and how we can help, you know, help change for the better, their growth bonuses and those kinds of things, has grown exponentially. And I think that's something that we can all spend a good fair amount of time understanding better. And Ben Huffman is one that I've reached out to multiple times. Mm-hmm. Keith has helped me as well. And Ben helped our location just grow from that, that service pay component. And I think it's helped us immensely, and we've been able to tell that story, and obviously we've got some really good growth bonuses to show from it. But I think that's something that all of our MDRs and all of our, even our new business reps need to know how our service reps get paid, because that's a key component to making sure that there are no longer two silos, and it's one business, one team, one dream, and obviously we can all succeed and win together.
Absolutely. And I think a big piece of that too is the service managers and service supes all have bonuses tied to the ads contest as well. So understanding that, because if your service manager and service sup isn't working with you the way that you are hoping that they do, just start asking them the questions, and eventually it's not going to be right away, but they'll start warming up to you as long as they know that you're there to help them make more money.
Yeah, that's a great point too. Very cool. And I'm going to go back to the, you know, your 12-month journey, which actually probably was even longer than that, but to go from, you know, 6,000 to 30,000 or so, roughly, right? Just that full transformation. And obviously, you talked about it from an MDR standpoint, an MDR component, but obviously, we've got a lot of new business reps in our group. And one thing for me is I think that message of, hey, change your actions, lean on people that can help you and show you the way. You didn't do anything that was outside the box. You literally went back to the fundamentals, the blocking, the tackling, the, you know, the do your job mentality. And that's what made you more successful. What would you tell our new business reps from that standpoint? Because I think I want to share that story as well and share that message, because I think that's important to all of our new business reps as well. Just that it was a conscious decision and you didn't reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely. So as far as with the new business side of things too, even though yes, I work with current customers and yes, I rely a lot on my SSRs and their help, and it's just the same as being a new business rep in the fact that you have to put in the same amount of effort. You're seeing, you're on-siting, you're going on appointments, you're running appointments. The whole process is basically the same. And you have to work with the SSRs for the installs as well. So there's nothing fundamentally different between the two roles. It just has to be that conscious decision and then putting in the conscious effort and then analyzing, okay, that didn't go the way I wanted it to go. What did I do or what didn't I do in that appointment, in that on-site, in that week that affected my numbers and affected the outcome? And I think that's the biggest piece, is doing the process and then asking yourself, why am I not hitting the numbers I hit, or why did I hit the numbers I wanted to hit, and going from there.
Yeah, and that's it, and that's a great point. And in our, you know, obviously we had a conversation before this just to make sure, mostly I had all my information correct, but you mentioned multiple people that you reach out to that you leveraged, you know, whether it was, they were really good in one area versus another, or you already talked about John Glendy, and then you reached out to some other people. How did those people help mold your success in FY19 that you weren't doing in FY18? Was it just the fact that they were telling you how good you were, or was it they were telling you about the fundamentals, they were talking you through those things, how to fight through certain situations? Because obviously this mentor program is important to me. It's been a great asset to our group and our markets. But I think that's a key component of people who have a huge transformation, is what they do with the information that they're given from the people who are already experts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, in general, I reach out to more people than most reps, because from what I hear, from what I see, I try to reach out to someone at least once a week or once every other week. I basically, if I have a question, I call people until one of the partners picks up their phone or one of the partners actually gets back to me.
Yep.
And it could be something tiny, like how to handle an objection or anything like that. It's just, I want to get feedback from people I don't hear every single day. And I guess a big thing from when I reach out to people is, you're not going to have a magical moment transformation. It's picking up one or two things. So I had a conversation with Ben Huffman a few months back, right before the end of last fiscal year. And I realized I wasn't selling urinal trips. And I had no idea why I wasn't selling urinal drips, but if I didn't have that conversation, I wouldn't have started selling urinal drips. And it was just kind of a click, like, why wasn't I doing this? And it's those types of conversations and those kinds of clicking moments. And even farther back, before last fiscal year, I did a ride-along with Jesse Lindberg and benchmarked with him. And what I realized that that his location had that we didn't have is, they were getting introduced one Cintas product at a time, which meant that Jesse went to every single customer that he had, and he was only able to sell one product, but that meant that he got so good at that product and that he went to every single customer and told every single customer on that product, or tried to, that he just got really good at it. So it made me realize how easy it is to sell when you're just focusing on one product at a time, as opposed to trying to learn all the products and be an expert on all the products right away.
Yeah, that's really cool, because I think, and it is, you know, it's everyone's got their skill sets, everyone's got their own unique ability in certain areas. And the beautiful thing about Cintas, the beautiful thing about our the world that we live in, is like, we don't have to be good at everything. We have mm-hmm. resources that we get to pull from, and it's literally one phone call away. And if they don't pick up the phone, call somebody else. And I think that's a fantastic message, is to use the army. And let's be honest, you know, old school Cintas, or I would say older Cintas, when I first started, you know, a sales manager had 6-7 people on the team. I mean, I think now I'm up to like 20. I don't know, something like, I think I've got a two deep on a football team at this point. And some locations are more than that, some are a little bit less. But you know, from a rep standpoint, like, you can't always call your manager anymore, because we've got a lot of people calling us. And I think that message of, hey, pick up the phone and call another rep, call another peer, is a good one that we just need to spread the word on. And I think sometimes people are a little bit intimidated to do that. But I would say, from the other side of the phone call, like, when you get those calls and someone's asking you a question, obviously you feel good about yourself and you feel like you know what you're doing, and that someone has confidence that you can help them. And then from the other side, I've never picked up the phone and called somebody and asked for help and felt like I was, they made me feel like I was stupid or inadequate or anything like that. I've only gotten better from it. So it's kind of those two sides of the story. And we're still scared, I feel like, to pick up the phone sometimes. But we just need to treat it like phone blocks. Pick up the phone and it's only going to help you out.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I'm honestly running out of questions, but you know, one thing that I always ask people is, what do you want, you know, someone listening to this, what do you want your message to be, for someone who's listening to this and, you know, they've got 30 minutes on their way to their next appointment or whatever the case is, 30 minutes, on the way to the Monday morning meeting or whatever it is. What is the biggest thing that you would love to get across to every rep in our group, if you could?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing, is really just simplifying what you want this upcoming year to be. So deciding on two or three things that are incredibly important to you, two or three things that are professionally and personally, whatever you want, and then believe that you can do it and put those two or three things above everything else. Because if you believe you can do it and you're only focusing on a couple things, you can get there. And when you want to get there, other people want to help you. So you'd be surprised at how many people will fight for you and will do whatever they possibly can to help you get there and want to give you advice to get there. So pick two or three things that you want this year to be and then just do it.
That's a fantastic message that we can certainly end on. Alexandra, I want to thank you for your time. I know obviously you've got your fantastically geocoded schedule to get to. Do want to thank you for your time. Obviously, want to congratulate you again on a fantastic FY19. I know you're off to a great Q1 of FY20 as well. And I want to thank you for helping to share your message, because I think it is a conscious decision that we all just need to make. Get rid of the excuses, throw them out the door, throw them out the window, whatever you want to say, and set yourself up for success by focusing on a few things that will make you better, move the needle, and that are quote unquote the money making activities, and get back to the fundamentals. And when you do that, you will have a successful year. And you know, like you did, have a gigantic transformation that will pay off on your W-2, on the rankings, and hopefully help an SSR, a service manager, a service soup, get paid along the way as well. So thanks for your message. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And you have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.